number two, Shaw versus City of Kent, has been continued. So plan accordingly. That makes the first matter on the calendar petition of Hills. Parties ready?
Good morning, Your Honor. Suzanne Lee Elliott on behalf of Mr. Edward Hills. May it please the court, counsel. I'll reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Five, okay.
It's a very narrow issue in this case.
It is.
Mr. Hills filed a pro se personal restraint petition, and I was appointed to brief it. The question in Mr. Hills, but for the United States Supreme Court decision in Missouri versus McNeely, Mr. Hills would be time barred. This would be his fourth or fifth personal restraint petition. But with the issuance of that opinion, Mr. Hills can get relief from this court if Missouri versus McNeely was a new legal concept and one that would be applied retroactively to cases already final.
So retroactivity is really the dispositive
the
point.
The only point in this case. The government and I agree this is a new concept. The only question is whether or not it can be applied retroactively to Mr. Hills. So what happened was, as the court is well aware, Mr. Hills was arrested after running a red light and speeding. And because he had bloodshot and watery eyes, he was taken to a local hospital where blood was drawn without a warrant, without any individualized showing of exigent circumstances, and under a state statute that says it can be drawn without regard to consent. Now, our implied consent statute was, it seems to me, in looking at the history of the cases, sort of a exception to the warrant requirement in search of a justification. But I think it came down finally to the notion that in every case, the manner in which alcohol dissipates from the blood presented an exigent circumstances. In Missouri versus McNeely, the United States Supreme Court said, well, that may be true, but we can't assume that in every case. You have to go ahead and prove that. Or you have to get written consent, or you have to phone in and get a warrant. The difference between Missouri and the cases that find that the decision in that case is not retroactive is because in those states, at least in all the ones I looked at, there wasn't a statutory embodiment of this concept. But in Washington, there was. And in Washington, one tenet of retroactivity is that when a court construes a statute, that is what the statute has always meant. And so there isn't a question of retroactivity. That means our statute always, despite the fact it said differently, required consent, a warrant, or proof of exigent circumstances. That being the case, Mr. Hills he has met the requirements to bring this personal restraint petition. The state concedes, I believe, that the blood draw here would be unconstitutional or impermissible under McNeely and our statute. I believe the state also concedes that he can prove prejudice because beyond the speeding and running the red light, there wasn't much more other than the blood test in this case. It was a bench trial. All of the findings are tied to the finding that he was impaired by the THC or had a THC level that indicated impairment.
If considered a procedural ruling, then you're up against the watershed rule, right? You'd have to have a Gideon versus Wainwright type change in the law to go apply it retroactively.
That's correct, although the distinction between procedural and substantive I don't think applies when you're talking about construction of a statute. For example, State versus Darden, which embodies the Johnson rule, was the construction of a court rule that had to do with time for trial. Well, what could be more procedural than time for trial? And there they said the construction of the court rule was retroactive, i.e., it meant what it always meant, and so it was applicable to people even whose convictions were final. So it's certainly getting a warrant is a could be argued to be a procedural requirement, but the substance of why you might be required to get a warrant or why a statute that says consent is immaterial is substantive. I would agree that there are not a lot of really clear Washington cases that delineate between what is procedural and what is substantive, but they're very clear that when the interpretation of a statute is concerned, it's always applied retroactively. I will save whatever time I have for rebuttal.
You have 5 minutes.
Thank you.
May it please the Court, Ann Summers on behalf of the State of Washington. Mr. Hill's PRP should be dismissed as untimely and successive. There is no exception to the time bar that applies to his claim. The only exception that could apply is a significant change in the law that applies retroactively. And McNeely certainly is a significant change. It rendered part of our implied consent scheme unconstitutional, as it did many other states. But it is not retroactive when you apply the Teague analysis. That's because it is a new rule, clearly a new rule, because it overturned precedent. The Teague analysis, a new rule is just something that wasn't dictated by precedent. So clearly it's both a significant change in the law and a new rule. And it is a rule of criminal procedure that does not apply retroactively. There's really no question it's criminal procedure because the new rule in McNeely affects how the state gathers evidence. And it's very much like the new rule at issue in the Hagigi case. The new rule at issue there was the new rule in Winterstein that Washington does not, in fact, have an inevitable discovery rule. And in Hagigi, the state Supreme Court said that new rule set forth in Winterstein does not apply retroactively because it's a procedure. It's a new rule of criminal procedure. It is search and seizure rules are quintessentially rules of criminal procedure. And the fact that McNeely rendered a portion of our implied consent statute unconstitutional doesn't affect the retroactivity analysis. And I would ask you to consider the Blakely case. You know, the Blakely case, the United States Supreme Court actually rendered Washington's, specifically Washington's aggravating circumstance scheme unconstitutional under the Sixth Amendment. So we had to change that scheme, but yet Blakely was not applied retroactively, because it was a rule of criminal procedure. So it cannot be just the fact that a new constitutional rule affects the statute or requires the legislature to change the statute doesn't make it retroactive under the Teague analysis. It's still a procedural rule. And the Johnson case is not opposite, because what happened in Johnson is the Washington State Supreme Court interpreted a Washington statute. And the case law has long been when the Washington Supreme Court first interprets a Washington statute, that interpretation is deemed to have been what the statute has meant all along. So that sort of interpretation is not a new rule. And more importantly, the rule at issue in Johnson was how you score something would be a substantive rule, not a procedural rule. So if the court has no further questions, I believe the McNeely case is a new rule of criminal procedure that does not apply retroactively. It does not meet the watershed bar, which the court has said basically only Gideon v. Rainwhite has been identified as a sort of watershed rule that might meet that bar, and therefore his petition should be dismissed as untimely and successive.
Thank you.
Just briefly, I'd just like to remind the court that Hagigi did not concern a statutory interpretation, and that in our briefing, Washington simply just chose to embody the concept of implied consent or the notion that you didn't have to consent to the blood test into a statutory scheme. So that takes it out of the Teague analysis. And
say that again. Why is it out?
It takes it out of the Teague analysis because the question of construing a statute and the notion that then that's what the statute has always meant takes it out of any kind of Teague analysis. And in Hagigi, they weren't construing a statute. They were construing a concept that applied to questions of whether or not you needed a warrant. But we had never embodied that in the statutory scheme. And in our briefing on page 9, we have included citations to the federal cases that reach the same result regarding statutory interpretation. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
We ask the court to grant Mr. Hill's petition.
Okay, thank you.